Turn with me, if you would, to Song of Solomon, chapter 7. I'd like to deal with verses 6 to 9. When Brother Gary was talking about me having services tonight, and then singing two songs, confusing people. I remember one time Brother Scott said something. I'm sure y'all heard it. Someone told him one time, if you preach what you preach, you're going to confuse people. He said they were born confused. That's right. I've entitled this message, How Fair and How Pleasant. Before we start, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, we come before you this evening to ask because, Lord, you've commanded us to do so. You said ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened. Lord, we're asking and we're seeking and knocking. Our dear Lord, we need so desperately to hear from you. We need your help. I need your help, Lord. I know somewhat of the frailty of preaching and hearing. Pray that this evening that you'd be pleased to settle our hearts and let us hear from you the importance of hearing the gospel afresh and feeding upon the unsearchable riches of your grace. We pray for those that are not only within our congregation here that are sick, but those in other places that love your gospel, love your message of grace, the gospel of Christ, that are burdened and that are going through trials. Pray that you would be gracious, merciful to them, the keeping of them. And these things we ask for Christ's sake and our good. Amen. Verse 6 to 9 says, How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. Now the beauty and the agreeableness of the bride to the Lord Jesus Christ is beyond the bride's ability to perceive it. She just can't see it in herself. She is lovely in His sight beyond description. And it's His love toward her that makes her comeliness or her beauty to be truly valuable. When He says, you're beautiful, that has value to it. The world and its religion looks upon the bride and sees no beauty in her, for it sees no beauty in Christ. But she's beautiful. And beauty, as we've all heard, is in the eyes of the beholder. And if He says she's lovely, how fair and how pleasant she is, that's the way she is. Now the phrase or the verse, the portion of that scripture that says how fair and how pleasant is actually literally these words. How art thou made fair and made pleasant? Now doesn't that make perfect sense? That's just exactly how fair you're made. How pleasant you're made, because the bride wasn't born that way. She was born as all men, women are, in sin, trespasses, and rebellion, unloveliness. And she's been made to be comely with the comeliness, the righteousness that He's put upon her. And He tells her, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delights. He does find delight in His blood-bought, purchased bride. Everything about her. Turn over to Isaiah 62. We've read this numerous times, but again, you never read Scripture too much. Isaiah 62:4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. That is to say, Hephzibah, my delight. If you're looking in the margin there, you may find your margin says, my delight is with her. And Beulah means that which is married. Married to her. He said, O love for delights. You are my delight. And the bride says, you're my delight. That's the way of husband and wife. That's where they talk to each other, Mitch. That's where they ought to. I love you. I love you too. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He's mighty. He will save. He will rejoice or be cheerful over thee with joy, and He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. The bride is the Lord's delight. And she is His delight because first she has been chosen by the Father. This is the bride that the Father chose. You know, if He sets His affection on you, that's weighty. He loved her. He gave her to the Lord Jesus Christ. So she's His delight because it was the Father's gift to Him. And she is His delight because she's been redeemed by Himself, having paid her debt in His own precious blood. He bought her. Whatever she owed, that's what, you know, a husband, he finds, he looks upon a woman before he's a husband to a woman. And he looks and he sees in that woman a love. He sees he loves her. And if that woman has a debt, if there was an indebtedness to the fullness of his ability, he'll sell all he's got. He'll do whatever he can for her. She's first. He's going to take her side every time. He'll defend her character. He'll take her side against family. He'll take her side against friends. He'll take her side. He redeemed her. Bought her. And she's His because the Spirit of God has conformed her to His image. Spirit of God has taught her who Christ is. The Lord says when the Comforter has come, He'll speak of me. It's amazing to me how men foolishly speak of the Spirit of God when the Lord Jesus Christ says, this is what the Spirit of God will say. He'll speak of me. He'll reveal me. Only me. Not himself, me. He speaks of Christ. And the Lord tells her in verse 7, He says, this thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. Your stature, the way you stand, the way you are. Psalm 92:12 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. That is to be erect and upright in their covenant head, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, your stature, the way you stand, the way you are, the way you appear, upright toward Almighty God. Maybe not upright toward the world, but before Him. And nothing can be said of the bride apart from His comeliness. When He tells her, He says, this is your stature. Your stature is like a palm tree. The palm tree being compared to her beauty, its fruitfulness, her fruitfulness, perpetual greenness, flourishing. It's the master, her husband, that's made her to be standing erect, the way he said, like a palm tree. Well, I looked into a palm tree a little bit. It just kind of prompts my mind, you know, to think, a palm tree. What is it about a palm tree? Here's some interesting things I found out about a palm tree. The fiber of a palm tree is elastic. So elastic that no imposed weight hinders its growth. Whatever's put upon it, it continues to grow. You know, when the Lord, in His chastening mercy, applies His hand of chastisement, it's never for the bride's hurt. The Lord Jesus Christ never does anything to His bride for her harm. Never. He has spewed out His judgment totally in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made a curse for her. And there's not one bit of judgment for the people of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. Every trial that the believer goes through is for their good. It's for His honor and their good and their growth and their maturity. Always. So the burden that's placed upon the bride for her chastening is because the Lord loves her. He said, you're like a palm tree. Palm trees, you go down in Florida and you look around and see what kind of trees are growing predominantly. And these tall trees. There's a lot of scrub brush. You know, Carl, y'all see, you know, down there, a lot of this brushy stuff. But I'm talking about big trees. What kind? Palm trees. There's a lot of storms come through there. They're elastic to take it. The Lord says, your stature, like a palm tree. But the most interesting thing that I found out about the palm tree was this. The palm tree, unlike most other trees. Now, I'm not a horticulturalist or anything like that. I basically know what I read when it comes to things like this. So if someone else knows something about a palm tree that I don't, well, I'll stand to be corrected. But the palm tree, I found, doesn't live so much by its roots as by its head. Take the head out of a palm tree, it's gone. It's over. Nothing there. It lives by its head. It grows by its head. And I started to call Greg Elmquist this afternoon because Greg told me something when we were down there the other day and said this, and it seemed to ring true to me. He said, if that center, the bud, the tap, that part of that palm tree, if that's damaged, that tree's gone. It's gone. If the middle part of that growth, it's gone. And the bride is beautifully compared to the palm tree. She grows from her head, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the bride. He told her, he said, stature is like a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I'll say a little bit more concerning her breast or her heart affection being compared in this next verse. But here we see the Lord beholding the fruit of His people. Fruit of the Spirit that's found within the saints is sweet and refreshing to Him. In verse 8, He said, I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boles thereof. And now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, the smell of thy nose like apples. Here is the immutable purpose of the King. Here is the sovereign God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boles thereof. He does what He does according to His purpose. He set His affection on her. The Father gave Him the bride. He's everlastingly loved her. He said, I and the Father are one. He's always the eternal God. And He purposed to give Himself to His people everlastingly, and purposed to unite them to Himself as His bride. He purposed to rejoice in her and she in Him eternally. He said, I will go up to her. I will take hold of her. I will have her as my own. Father, the Lord said, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. I will. Oh, what consolation. What peace and comfort. I will. I will go up to the palm tree. I'll take hold of her. I'll take hold of her responsibility. I'll take hold of her debt. I'll be made a curse for her. I'll take hold of her. She's mine. In that everlasting covenant, He engaged to be the Redeemer of His people. And in the fullness of time, He gave Himself for her and endured the cross. And He seizes her, the boles, the branches, the twigs, and holds them up. And by His Spirit, He arrests His people, lays hold upon them in power, and they willingly come to Him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. I'll come to her. I'll take hold of her because He carries her as a shepherd that finds His people, finds His lost sheep. And then He said, now also, in the last part of that 8th verse, now also, thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine and the smell of thy nose like apples. Now this is an amazing truth that's set forth. Turn over to Isaiah 66:10. I want to read something to you. Isaiah 66:10. The Lord finding great comfort, joy, and peace in His people. He tells her, speaks to her when He says, I'm going to come up and take hold of you. And thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine. He finds great joy in His people by making her what she is. He tells her here, I find my peace, my joy in you, and your breasts, he said, shall be clusters of the vine. In Isaiah 66, verses 10 to 14, the Lord here is speaking, and this is something that you don't see a lot of in the Scripture, when the Lord speaks to His people concerning Himself treating them as a mother treats her child. There's a bond between a mother and her child that is just absolutely indescribable. That mother that carried that child, that birthed that child, that nurses that child, and there's a bond between that mother and that child that no one understands but a mother, not even a dad. We say we do, but men don't understand like a mother understands. And there's times when a child will be nursing on his mother, sometimes for nourishment, sometimes for comfort, sometimes for just that consolation, peace, comfort, to know that she's there. And in this Scripture right here, the Lord refers to Himself speaking to His bride in the tenderness of a nursing mother. Isaiah 66, verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like the flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and shall be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. The Lord speaks to the bride back in Song of Solomon 7. He tells her, he says, thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine. The breast of consolation. The sincere milk of the Word. He made her like she is. He arranged her and set different ones in places of authority. He made a pastor. He gave a pastor. He called a pastor out by grace. A man. Just a man. And he taught that man. And he gave that man a heart after the reading of the Scriptures. And study and to search out, to find out why. To comfort the people of God. And to teach them. Now, there's not a thing in the world that a pastor has anything to say about himself that has it's good in any way, because he knows that he is what he is by the grace of God. God made him this way. God taught him this way. God keeps him this way. And then the Lord finds pleasure in it and says, this is my delight. I, the Lord says, am the one that's feeding you. And he expresses it as the breast, the sincere milk of the Word. You're nourished by and fed by. This is the precious, blessed promise to the church of Christ's tenderness to her. And he compares it to a mother. He said, "My desire toward you," he said, "is that your fruit may abound." He said, I've come that you might have life, have it abundantly. And the Lord's presence, there's something about His preached gospel that speaks of Him, and He's here, and He's honored, and He's pleased when He's exalted. And He refers to that. Hosea 9:10 says, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness." He's pleased. He sees her loveliness. That's what He tells her. He says, I'll go up to you. I'll take hold of the boughs there. I'll go up to the palm tree, take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine. You'll feed. My people will feed. And the smell of thy nose is like apples. Or, the literal is, the fragrance of your breath is like apples. The fragrance of your breath. The breath, the breathing of the bride smells sweet to Him. Her breath, there's a living, living bride. And it's made up of members. This is just amazing. Here's all these members. And the members of Katy Baptist Church and the members of 13th Street and the members of Grace Baptist Church and the members of West Harpeth. They make up the bride. And the bride breathes the same way. She breathes, she has life, breath, life. And her breath, He said, the smell of your nose, the smell, your breath, the fragrance of your breath is like apples. It's not a repulsive, you know, someone has bad breath, that's repulsive. You know, you just, it's not repulsive as the breathing of the unbeliever. There's no life there. It's just a stench of death. You know, someone speaks to you, and they're speaking religiously. You know what I'm talking about. There's just a religious jargon. And it's repulsive. There's no honor to Christ. That's the reason it's repulsive. There's no Christ honor in it. And He tells her, He said, your breath, the smell of your nose, like apples. Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9:1, Saul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And the Lord stopped him and He said, "Saul, Saul, what? Why persecutest thou me?" He was breathing out and it was stench. And the Lord, and in mercy, called him out of darkness. That's where He found you and me, breathing out threatenings. The believer breathes of love toward Him and longs toward Him with gratitude toward Him. It's a breath of respect and humbleness before the Lord, because that's the way He's got a heart to breathe. He breathes toward Him. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite or a crushed spirit." And last verse for this evening, "And the roof of thy mouth is like the best wine from my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak." The roof of your mouth, it means the palate, or the taste of your mouth. The way you take, the roof of your mouth, the way you taste. The taste of the regenerate soul, the taste that he longs after, is the gospel. That's what he wants to taste. He eats of Christ, and he tastes of Christ. He hungers for Christ, and that's what he likes. He likes it. There's times that I'll start talking, and I like certain things, as long as it looks like meat. And I can begin to think about a ribeye steak. If I can start imagining, and I'll start to salivate. I think about that steak. I think that get me a ribeye steak and a little thing of mushrooms, little button mushrooms. I think the palate of a believer, the roof of your mouth, the taste that you hunger after. He says, like the best wine for my beloved. The taste that the bride has is the message of him to the enlightened soul. And it goes down sweetly. A believer would come and sit. And if you sit there for 45 minutes and you don't speak of him, they're ready to leave. They've been ready to leave if they didn't hear about him. They've been ready to go. If you start talking about what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord and how the Lord can't do anything unless you think, oh boy, you're ready. You're out of here. This gospel that is the palate of the bride that goes down sweetly like the best wine is the word of praise toward him, and it's the heart of the conversation between believers. Let me show you that. Turn over to Malachi chapter 3. He said of her, he says, the roof of your mouth is like the best wine for my beloved that goeth down sweetly. This is what a believer wants to talk about right here. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You get two people together that love Christ. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying that there won't be any other conversation. I mean, they may talk about some, you know, that they went hunting or they did some fishing or something like that. But you give it just a minute. And you know what they're going to talk about? Him. They're going to talk about him. Because that's what they've got in common. That's the palate of a believer. That's the savor of a believer. That's what a believer wants to talk about. The praise and the prayer of the believer finds its basis and foundation in the message of the redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ. She wants to talk about him that bought her, paid for her, redeemed her. Here's the fruit of the saints' lips, the giving of thanks to his name. And this is the message, the means of the calling out of the elect. And that last verse right there, he said, the roof of thy mouth, like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly. You know, he's talking about the gospel there. The gospel of Christ. That's her palate. That's her taste buds. That's what she wants to talk about. And then it says, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. This message. Now, if you look in your margin there, it says the lips of those that are asleep. That word is of the ancient. Of those that are asleep. That's what it means. That's what it means. Of the ancient. Those that are asleep to speak. The Lord God Himself is spoken of in Daniel 7:9 as being the Ancient of Days. He is the Ancient of Days. And Daniel 7:9 says, "The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool." Now, the Ancient of Days, the Scripture says, Jeremiah, he said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Now, if the Ancient of Days has loved a people with an everlasting love, then the Ancient of Days has always loved them. Therefore, in His mind and will and purpose, they are of the ancient. Now, the interpretation of those that are asleep to speak means of the ancient. That's who it is. So this gospel that is the palate of the believer, the palate of God's people, her taste that she savors and longs for, that gospel, that where is the roof of her mouth, like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those who are of the ancient to speak in life, causes those that are asleep, those dead in trespasses and sins, like all men, we all were born in sin, but God's sheep, those who are of the ancient, speak. Those lips speak. In life, they speak in obedience to Him. They cry out for mercy. They seek after Him for forgiveness and ask. They speak to Him in obedience because He has spoken to them in power. That's the savor of the bride. She loves to hear that message of Christ and longs after Him. That's the palate of her taste buds. That's what she, and that which she loves to taste is the means. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it says here in Song of Solomon, that palate of her causes those to speak who are asleep, those who are of the ancient. Okay, Gary, you come.